time I passed there, I just paid. Well, sir, that burning, I wish I didn't have to get home and feed or something. I wanted to check in.
Well, I got a little sale on this morning. Been gone on for 3 or 4 days.
Well.
Hardware 30% off.
Groceries and medicine
20% off.
Well, now that's not good news to me. I'd rather you just keep it right here.
Well, I done sold it. It's too late that now.
I understand.
Yeah, I done sold the real estate. And I got to get out of here for the first of the year.
Yeah.
See, I'm knocking them down as I get to them. See all that bunch gone back there, and one over there, and one by the door back in.
Oh.
That red box done sold, and that glass case there done sold.
Well,
this is done sold.
Well, what do you know? What do you know? Now, I mean, that's clean enough, isn't it? Well, what do you know?
That's cleaned it up.
Yeah.
I knew I should have come.
Well, you're getting what you want, though. That's one thing.
No, the trouble is, I'm getting what I've been thinking
about.
Yeah,
what you've been needing and thinking about.
Honey.
That's right.
Well, let me tell you, Mr. Boyson. Are you going to clear the deck now so you can get out and politic a little?
Yes, sir. I intend to do that. Tend to get out in politics, huh?
You're just not going to keep your peace.
No,
sir. They elected a Republican governor, and he sent me the clipping out of the paper. And he, of course, never held a Republican ticket in his life. Don't get it. He's 92 years old. And actually, I was raised in Denver. I told him I was glad to see that I thought it was high time that all good people come to the aid of the country. Throw them out if they don't do right. Don't matter what they're... party affiliation is.
And he wrote
it off of you now.
Yes. That was up from Kentucky.
Yes, sir. He sent me this clip in the paper, you know.
That's hard to lecture Republican anyway.
Yes, it is. It's hard to lecture.
I got a.
Well, I didn't come over here to shop, Mr. Morrison. I just came over to see what was happening to you.
Yeah, well, I'm getting along all right.
Well, you look
fine. I'm fine.
Yes, you look fine. Yes, I saw you sign out the other day, and I just took alarm right off. I was afraid you're leaving the country or something.
Well, I don't much think I'm going to. I plan on going on down on Lake Salpaca and down Florida City. But that's what I kind of had in my mind doing. My wife, she and Ms. Green over here and my daughter all kind of had a little different idea. I guess we're going to stay around here somewhere.
Yeah.
I've been having a little trouble with my old ticker, though, in the last 6 months. A little more trouble, you know?
Yeah.
And I just decided I'd get out of it. It don't make much difference to me where I live. I guess we'll build a little house here. Ms. Green told me, said, just go up here, anything I got, and pick anything you want. She said, pay me what you want for it.
Yeah.
So... I said, went up there and I said, well, you got a piece up there I might buy and just build something on it. I said, how much you want for it? I said, no, I ain't going to price it. I said, you just, whatever you think. I said, I don't know, whatever you think. I said, well, I said, I'll tell you what, I sold mine for what it was. In fact, a little less than it was assessed at. And I'll pay you what yours assessed at. Would that be all right? She said, yeah. I said, okay. So I figured that was fair.
Yeah.
We're assessed all this work. In fact, I took a little less than mine assessed at. But I just couldn't stay here like I was and feeling bad all the time. Not doing too much business either, not able to push it to get any more.
Yeah.
And pay $500 a year taxes.
Yeah.
I just couldn't stand that.
Oh, yeah.
$501.39.
Yeah, that's a lot of money when you figure how much you got to sell in order to get that.
That's what I told my wife. I said, now we're just taking money from somewhere else and putting it here, and I ain't about to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Give it to them, and eventually we wouldn't have nothing.
Yeah.
So I'll build me a little house up here. Any time I get my homestead exemption on, it won't cost too much.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's it. That's it. You know, it looks like a man's got to sort of clear the deck and get out from under some of these taxes.
He does.
Yeah, what do you pay taxes? I see you paying them all the time anyhow, Mr. Morrison.
Well, there's a bunch of damned ignoramuses up there in office that look like they think if a man owns property, he ought to pay all the taxes.
Yeah.
Instead of putting this thing on a sales tax basis, I don't mind paying my share of the taxes, and I don't mind helping educate other people's kids. A little bit. But I hate to, for fellas like me and you and the two other property owners to pay for all of it.
When we're poorer than they are.
Yeah, we're poor, actually poorer than they are.
Yeah.
We're paying for all of it. You look up and down the road here and see this dang coon run up down here and 6 to 7 automobiles.
They don't pay anything.
Pay
they don't even have tax.
They've got 12, 15 kids come up and we're paying their taxes.
All right, now they, there you are.
Rough right now, you know.
Well, just forget all of them but George Wallace. And if George, if they give us a choice, George ain't going to run. We vote for the other side.
Yeah.
If they don't give us no choice, why, well, we vote for George.
Yeah, hold on.
And you know something? George Wallace just might beat him. He got a chance. Look, he carried a third of Indiana, and more than a third. He carried 38% of Indiana here 4 or 5 years ago, when every time he opened his mouth, somebody hollered bigot twice at him.
Yeah.
Well, they're not doing that anymore. But here's what's going to happen, though. You can see it coming right now. Now, they've already pinned a label on Ronald Reagan over that deal down there when he got a hold of that message, you know, that was sent to the governor.
Yeah.
Well, now that's the way they're going to do. They're going to buy this press out and they're going to start slandering everybody. Like it did Goldwater. Every time Goldwater opened his mouth, why, they'd say something opposite to what he said.
Yes, the press did that, Mr. Morrison.
Now, what we got to do is to get a bunch of people, and every time they open their mouth that way, is go sue them. Just sue the hell out of them and keep it up. And little people put suits against them everywhere. Well, we can scare the hell out of them by doing that.
Oh, Goldwater couldn't get it. He couldn't get it.
He couldn't open his mouth.
No.
He couldn't open his mouth. And then that damn Romney and Rockefeller, that bunch wouldn't work for him. And then now they come back wanting everybody to work for them.
Yeah.
I wouldn't vote for one of them if there wasn't, if the nigger was running, I'd vote for the nigger. I mean a mean nigger. Stokely Carmichael, somebody that way. If they say, you've got to vote, I'd say, I vote for Stokely. Well, he's better than they are because he does come out and say what he wants.
Yeah.
And they don't. They mealy mouth around and twist a foot about and don't tell the truth about nothing.
Yeah. They don't say anything different from President Johnson. They say go a little faster, go a little slower, but it's basically the same thing.
Now, let me show you something. You remember old Lyndon Johnson getting up saying, making a big speech and saying, we shall overcome, we shall overcome. And old stupid Hubert got up and says, I could lead a good parade myself. All right. Martin Luther King had a straight line to the White House. Pick up the telephone, call the president, wouldn't do, but could you get a hold of him? Why, heck no, you couldn't even get a hold of him. All of the offense you've ever committed against him was just pay your just and honest taxes to him. But Martin Luther King never done nothing but swindle him all of his life and swindle everybody else he could. He got a straight line to the White House. I tell everybody, listen, I talk to niggers just like I do you. I tell them all. I say, what's he done for you? I catch these niggers at work. I say, what's he done for you? Now, you work, and they tax you, and they take your money, and they give these black bastards that won't work and won't do nothing, 2 and 3 generations of them on relief, and they'll turn Stokely Carmichael and all that bunch out of jail, and they'll rob and cheat and take your money away from you to belong to certain organizations that they press you to belong to, and yet you go along and vote for them. No, sir, no, sir, I ain't going to vote for them no more.
Yeah.
I had them tell me that, man.
Is that right?
Yeah, I don't hesitate to talk to niggers. I just don't talk to niggers than anybody.
You tell them about
right here in the store. I tell them just what I told you.
I imagine most of them.
Most of them will see through it. These working ones, you know, and most all fires around here do work. See, well, that's what we got to do. If all the little people like us would start talking, and talking to these niggers and everybody, and showing them, we don't need to lie to them. Just show them the truth, and then show them how the press. They all watch TV, you know, and show them how this radio and press and all lie to the people and how the government's lying to the people. Get them all to vote against them.
I don't know how much they listen to TV.
Oh, a lot of them look at it, and I'll tell you another thing. A nigger come in here, I've had him come in here, and, hey, you got Brillo? No, I haven't got that. Where did you see it? I saw it on TV, and it's the finest stuff you ever used. A man said it was. I've had them tell me that. They believe everything you say
well,
here.
Well, they'll watch some of the programs,
yeah,
but they won't listen to the same things you do, you see.
No, they won't listen to the same thing we do, but they listen. They get a whole lot to what we do. They listen to all these political speeches.
They do?
Yes, sir. They live by all land. And they know that they, I'll tell you another thing now, a lot of these niggers have been pressured into paying this NAACP and
yeah.
a lot of these organizations. And you can show them these organizations are just exploiting them and not giving them anything back in return for it. And that the government's taking their money from them too, and the government's not trying to help them. All they're trying to do is get their vote and go on and do as they please. Well, you're going to get them mad, man, they start voting. You want to get a nigger mad now. In this last election against Billy Matthews here, I had all these niggers around here voting for Fuquay. I don't know if one didn't vote for Fuquay. And one of them was in here. I had Fuquay's card, and I gave one Fuquay's card this morning. And he was in here a day or two later, and there's a fellow from Gainesville out here. Oh, he was the hottest fellow you ever saw. I can't understand it. Beat Billy Matthews, the only man we had here as congressman. I can't understand it. I said, what in the hell did Billy Matthews ever do for us? Nothing. I said, man, he'd come down here and eat our barbecue and pat us on the back and promise us the world with a fence around it and go right to Washington and sit down in Johnson's corner and sit there and shake his head yes and grin like a possum to everything Johnson said and never done one damn thing for us. He wasn't our congressman. He's Johnson's congressman. Let's get us one of our own. And this man, I was telling that man that, and this nigger standing there. He says, well, and a man says, I can't understand how Micanopy could go for Fuquay when he don't even live here. Yes, Billy Matthews, this nigger says, pointed at me and says, here's one of the big reasons Micanopy went against Fuquay. And he said, why? Against Matthews, he for Fuquay, he says, why? Finger in his pocket all the time, he pulled out that card, said, he gave me that card and told me to vote for him. And said, that's the way I voted. Had Fuquay's card, he showed it to me.
Well, I didn't know you could do that.
Oh, you can, man, listen. I'm going to get out here. I'm going to see these niggers. I can change these niggers, make them vote the way you want them to. It ain't no trouble.
You
don't have to lie to them now. Just tell them the truth.
You can't get them to vote for Wallace.
I ain't sure that I couldn't carry Micanopy against anybody for Wallace if wasn't nobody voting but the niggers. I'll tell you something. What I'd do if I was going to work for Wallace and what Wallace is going to do. Go to Alabama and get some of them pretty well-educated niggers and get them to speak for Wallace. Get them out speaking for Wallace. Now, Wallace wouldn't go to school with them, but he's done a damn sight more for them than anybody else has. He's done a damn sight more for them than Lyndon Johnson ever did do. Niggers in Alabama are all working. They all got jobs. And Wallace is the cause of it. He's got industry in there, and he's got them all working.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? If they'll keep that up, why, it won't be no trouble for Wallace. Well, look, hell, Lorraine Wallace got, she couldn't have won by the majority if she did, if she didn't get a third of the nigger vote. She run against a man that was a nigger lover from a way back, and she got a third of the nigger vote.
Yeah.
You know she didn't get all the white votes. You know he had some friends.
Yeah.
Listen, we can beat them. All we got to do is to get out here and just see the little people, because there's a hell of a lot more little people than big ones.
Mr. Morrison, let me ask.
A little nuisance. You've got that business. You got that $500 tax, and you can't, and then you can't buy and get it delivered. That minimum delivery charge.
And then the freight rates went up a third last year. Everything's against the little man. The government's even fixed it. So the big man's all right, but the little one ain't. You know that?
Yeah.
This Johnson administration's been doing all that.
It just creeps up on you. You don't, and I don't know.
Listen, why don't you see your man? And, if you wanted to come over here, I wouldn't care if you come tomorrow, anytime you want to, or at night either. We'll just get a bunch of bags and come back here and get the add machine, and we could add up. You could just take out what you want and say, well, this is 75 cents, and you just add up what you want, get all of them you want. And I'll give you 33 1/3% off of all of it. And then if you take all my bolts and things, I'll give you the bins that they're in.
Yeah, those bends, that's, you know, when you got bolts, you don't know what you got.
What we could do, we could just take bags and put them in the bags, and then you could put them right back in the bends.
Mm-hmm. That's my trouble. I have bolts a lot of times, I don't know I got them.
Yeah.
So I just come over here and get new ones.
Well, that would really work good for you that way.
Yeah. You could.
And you could get with this other fellow if you wanted to, and I wouldn't care if both of them would make a difference.
Well, I just thought you might just sort of take a, you know, just sort of figure it out to you in your head a little bit and see how you thought it would add up.
Well, I wouldn't have no idea, because here's the reason I wouldn't. I don't know how many it is.
Yeah.
Because people have been getting them out, and you know what I mean, and just bring them up and throw them down. I got a dozen bolts here, it's so much money, and
mm-hmm.
I take their money, and I don't know what they, I just don't know how many's left.
Mm-hmm.
But I know they're way down to what they were.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I never did know how many I had, because I'd buy them just a few at a time, you know, and every time one run down, I'd buy them.
Yeah.
And the only way in the world a fella could get anything at would be take inventory, unless we just wanted to take a shot at them some way.
Well, you just kind of keep it in mind, take a shot at it, and see what we can do. Let me tell you, Mr. Morganson, you've got more business, of course, than I've got. But over there doing what I do, it seems to me like I hold the bag all the time.
Yeah.
People would come over there and want to buy my animals, and they always have in mind the beef prices.
Mm-hmm.
But for breeding purposes, you see, that you've got so many extra prices.
Yeah.
And I just found out I just couldn't. I just wasn't in the way of coming out of it. So what I do over there now, I just do for the hell of it. I make a little on it, you see, but and then over there, you know her at all?
No, that's what I plan on doing. I plan on renting a place somewhere, and then just go and build as I want to, you know.
Mm-hmm. 3 or 4 months, you can put up in a nice, nice mm-hmm. place to live. And you won't have to hire much done.
That's right. I'll hire my blocks laid, and that'll be about all.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of heavy work.
Yeah. And I'm going to put a wood floor in it on through no concrete. But I'm getting tired of this concrete. I've been on it, for 7 years here.
Yeah.
I was on it 10 years down to Onika. So I'm tired of concrete.
Mm-hmm. I was tired of concrete to start with.
Yeah.
Oh, it's all right, a little bit, you know. It's nice to have I think it's nice to, in the shop, it's nice to have a place to work. Well, if you drop a bolt, you don't have to blow all the sand out of it. Let's see.
Some things, and these pipe fittings, he'd have it made, wouldn't he?
Oh, anybody, you know.
Anybody using a lot of that stuff.
Anybody can use a lot of that stuff.
You'd have people coming to you for it, too, all over.
That's right.
And the price is already on it there, on the bins.
Yeah.
Use that right back at retail. Get yours free.
That's right. That's right. You know, if people would do that a little bit, it'd be right, make it right handy.
Yeah, make it handy for everybody, and the fella make a little money on it, too.
Yeah. Well, everybody got to run into town.
Yeah.
All like that to buy a thing. I bought one of those flaring tools from you one time.
Mm-hmm. I got one back there now. It's about wore out. I about wore it out here just flaring pipe for other people.
Yeah.
I got a whole bunch of that brass thing there too.
Yeah.
Of course, that's kind of slow. Nobody's hardly using much of that.
They don't use much, and that's like gold, I think.
Yeah, when a fellow needs it, he needs it awful bad, but he don't need it very often.
No, he don't need much.
That's right, don't need much of it.
What do they do it for? They use it for washing?
I don't know what they use it for. There's some special purpose they use it for, I guess. I had a fellow in the other day and bought a half dozen bars of it.
Mm-hmm.
I never asked him. I thought after he left, I wish I had asked him what he's going to do with it.
You know,
they put it in whitewash, I know that. That's one of the things they do with it.
Never heard of that.
They put it in whitewash, that makes it smooth, makes it stick, you know.
Yeah. Also, that's brand new to me. I never heard of that.
I had them where they're scattered out now. I had six in a bunch, you know, six in one.
Yeah.
Like that kind of way.
Yeah.
Now then, what I'm doing, I'm scattering everything out, you know, to keep it going.
Oh, I see. But you look like a little more there than you.
Well, they can at least find it better. I'm making it where they got to see it.
Yeah.
When, in other words, on that top shelf over there, there's six pans. And if I come in here and I had them all stacked up, they'd just see one, you know.
Uh-huh.
Now then, they got six times the chance to see it.
Yeah. And tell what they use it.
This is sold. And that case over there is sold. The cash register is sold. And this is sold.
With all that stuff?
Yes, sir. I sold a greeting card to fellow and gave him the case.
Uh-huh. That's a nice case, too.
Yes, sir, it is a nice case. Buck gets that.
Mm-hmm.
Buck Weaver gets
that.
Oh, does
he? Yeah. Well, good for Buck.
That's a good item, too. I sell a world of those.
Yeah.
Every time a nigger around here dies, I can figure on $30 worth of sympathy cards.
Is that right?
If he's a popular nigger, I can figure on at least $30 worth of sympathy cards.
Is that right?
Because they come in here and they nationally buy them.
Yeah. Is that right?
I don't have too many left in there now.
Well, how do you keep up your stock on those?
Well, I have a man that comes around.
Oh, I see.
Couple of months.
I see.
And he puts in what he thinks I need.
I see.
And if I got something, that's why it's a good deal.
I see.
If I got something that don't sell, he'll pick it up and take it away from me and give me credit card.
Oh, yeah. I see. Yeah.
So that makes a good deal, you know, that way. It's just, in other words, you don't take no chance at all. All you do is just let it sit there and sell them. And if they don't move, he'd move them. And if they you run out, he'd replace them.
Oh, me. I don't know what
they're trying to do. They're messing with just, I call them commocrats. They're not Democrats. They're commocrats. They're not communists, but they got a communist thinking, you know. In other words, they want the government to own everything. And the Kennedys are no better than Johnson. They're all the same clique.
Mm-hmm.
The liberal, the so-called liberal, they're all the same bunch. That's what they believe, you know.
Mm-hmm. I guess so. Some of them got a little more personality than the others. And
can be a little smoother with it, you know.
Yeah. Now you take Bobby, I love
him. And he's on Johnson today, something.
Yeah.
I would like to see him butt heads that way.
Yeah.
I wish I was big enough to just pick up one of them with the heels and just slam him against the other. Man, I tell you, they ain't no good for nothing. They're trying to really destroy this country. I believe they are. I'm not half as afraid of the communists as I am them.
Well, they are all well-to-do, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They'd be
the Khrushchevs and the Brezhnevs and that bunch, too, if it ever went communism, you know. And they know that, see. You and I would be the masses, you know.
Yeah. We would click our heels.
Yes, sir. We'd click our heels. Well, I've got some more stuff over yonder you ought to look at, you might need out there too. It's just little hinges and hefts and staples, just odds and ends.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you can just pick out anything that way that you think you might need. And you don't see them because they're over there in boxes. Toggle bolts and lead anchors and lag screws.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to hang something up on a wood wall that's real heavy, you can just take a bore a hole in it, a little smaller, and then take a wrench and screw that lag screw in there, and boy, it'll never come out.
Uh-huh.
And gate hinges, old screw hook gate hinges.
Yeah. Yeah, you just use them all the time.
I've been thinking about, I've got to build me some kind of a storage shed, and I've been thinking about putting a big door on it and hooking it on with some of them gate hinges.
Yeah.
And then when I got ready, I could just open it back.
That's right.
And then close it up, and the whole end would come up.
That's right. And you wouldn't have all, you wouldn't use so much space.
That's right.
You know, if a man would put his mind to things like that, Mr. Morrison, it'd be worthwhile.
Sure would. I got to build a little shed, metal shed. I think about building it out of metal. Just frame it up, then using corrugated roofing
mm-hmm.
on the side,
mm-hmm.
just nailing on for siding.
Mm-hmm.
Then a fellow, every time he got a little rust or something, he just go there and paint with aluminum and he'd have it fixed up for 8-10 more years.
It wouldn't get rusty in a long time.
Long time it would.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would pour concrete floor on it, in it, you know. And then just frame it up on top of that.
Now, I'll tell you where I am. I don't really need concrete. I've got so much of that old clay.
Yeah.
And I don't know, just for ordinary purposes, it'd be just good as any.
Well, sure.
Just as long as the water don't hit it.
Just get on the high place or fill it up a little bit in there.
That's right.
And then that old clay packed down.
That's right. It really, you can move it. No, sir. No, sir.
No, that's not it. But I want to watch them when they tear this front out, because there's a concrete lintel, or rather those are lintel blocks all the way around, filled with concrete, and filled with iron in it. And then when I poured over that lintel, when I laid that lintel block over that window, I laid the iron in it and just propped it up on boards, you know.
Yeah.
And then I went on and laid that other course of blocks around, and then I laid the lintel blocks around. And then when I got ready to pour it, I just poured it solid from the window up.
Yeah.
And then, now look here.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
This has got concrete down in it and solid all the way down to the floor. This side's solid, but this isn't solid.
Yeah.
And that over there's solid. And that corner's solid. That corner's solid.
Yeah.
All the way down, you know.
Yeah.
With iron in it. That's right. That's all the glitter they got, what you see over there on that back tail.
Yeah.
Under that sign.
Yeah.
Goes on that, well, I got a few in the back wall, too. I never even had many groceries, though.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of odd and people, things people need, you know, fast.
Mr. Morrison, how do these little stores like the Jiffy Mart operate? Now, you see, they've got salaries to pay in there.
I don't know. One thing, they're about 10% higher than we are, and I imagine that being a chain that way, they can buy 10% cheaper. So that gives them a 20% markup right there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only way I can figure it.
I don't know. Sometimes, you know, something new comes in and people patronize it. And
yeah.
If you had the volume, that'd make a difference to you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if I had the volume. But I didn't do bad here. I did all right until I got sick, got where I wasn't able to push.
Mm.
I don't have any complaints or regrets here. I did all right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm selling out. I've got money enough to do what I want to do with it. And I'm willing to have about, I think I'll get, how many you got, 10?
Five.
Five? I think I'll get enough out of my stock. Maybe they'll build me a house. Build me a house.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll have what money I got out of this. Cash left over.
Mm-hmm.
So I can do bad here.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I'm going to weigh twice as much as I had when I came here, maybe a house to boot. So that won't be bad.
I'm going.
I didn't lose no money here. I done all right. I done a whole lot more business like they thought of.
Yeah. Well, now.
Did on a kind of conservative basis, you know, and played along, you know, and took what I could get here and there, you know. Didn't worry about what I didn't get.
Oh, yeah.
Burns here.
Do you want to get the big ones
out of them? All of them. Get all of them.
Okay. Roll everything loose, they just... I imagine children tempted, you know, everything loose, they just...
They come and sit laying, they think. And I feel sorry for those poor little old kids. Come in here one day and... there. I was standing over behind her. She had on a little blouse, and boy, she picked up a couple of packs of Kool-Aid, and she looked at it, and she turned around this way, and pissed one back, just did like that. She had it under her sweater, jacket. So she went on out, and I didn't say nothing to her. I just let her go, because you do kind of feel sorry for her, you know. Next time they came back in here, I had some back there that was kind of getting where it's sold or mailed. It was still good, but I wasn't going to be able to sell it. So I gave him a whole case of it.
Yeah.
Hello.
Good morning.
Can I help? Come out in the paper. And these old pastors are going to get their checks next week. You see. Of course, the trouble is, they haven't been trading with me much.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of them around here that are getting these relief checks and pensions and things, and they haven't been trading with me much. And I threw this sale just beforehand. I ain't going to have much fun.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
That might be kind of the way it did.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way it went.
Mm.
There goes a load of crutches. The spot just pretty every time.
With that one?
Oh, it's just like a rifle. Just like a rifle.
Is that right?
I got a big one, but I can shoot this one so much faster and so much more accuracy. With so much more accuracy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If I ever get my hands on that, I don't ask no odds from none of them.
Yeah.
If I can just ever get my hands on it.
Yeah.
And I've got it where it'd be pretty handy to get, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the nicest little guns I ever owned. It's so accurate.
You know what I'd like? Going along these dirt roads and run into a pack of these dogs sometimes. I just like to clear them out.
I got a 9mm Aster back there, but it's a big gun. It's kind of hard on trigger and it bounces quite a bit. And I don't like it near as well as I do that one.
Mm-hmm.
I took it out of mine out the other day, and then
most big guns, you stand and start to shoot them that way and shoot them fast, and if you care, we'd be shooting up here to get through.
Yeah.
But with that gun, you shoot down instead of up.
It's really
pull it. It's heavy on the end. It don't go down. It just bounces back. But when it bounces back, it's heavy on the end, and it just automatically let it down, you know.
Oh.
I took it in my hand like this. I was up there with Jim up at your house, and Jim said, "Now, Daddy, if you ever attack down there," said, "you're going to have to just grab a gun and shoot fast." I said, "Yeah, that's right. I want to try something here." And I set up a board over there and made a spot on it. And I said, "I got 7 minutes, Jim. I'm going to empty it now. I'm going to put it in that board." And I said, I was putting the board up. I said, "Now I'm going to put it in that board, and you tell me, and I'm going to just whirl and start shooting." And I just walked away. Is what he said. Now I just whirl,
just took it like that and started shooting as fast as I could. And I put them all in a circle about that big, seven
mm-hmm.
of them.
Mm-hmm.
It shoots good, but this thing of sighting
mm-hmm.
is for the birds.
Yeah.
Because if you're gonna, if a man is shooting at you, and you're gonna shoot at him,
mm-hmm.
He's got the advantage because he's gonna make the break first.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to get busy quick. I've been practicing the BB I got here, and I went out there the other day, and a salesman out there, and he said, "Oh, I was talking about shooting a 45." I said, "Oh." And he talking about sight, the sights on. I said, "Oh, sighting for the birds. I don't care where I got the sights on my gun or not." He looked at me and said, "Well, you crazy?" I said, "No, I ain't crazy. I'll show you." I come here and got this BB. I said, "Set a little spot of grass over there about 30 feet away from me." He said, "Yeah." I said, "Now you watch it and you watch me and see if I sight." And I took it and I pulled it down this way. And the first time I shot over about a couple inches. And the next time I pull it and I shot right in it. And I just kept on that way and I just put them right in it and right around it every shot, you know.
Is that right?
Wasn't even looking.
Is that right?
He said, "That beats all I ever saw." He said, "That's been bound to be thousands of hours of practice." And I said, "No, I never tried in my life till this morning on that piece of grass." I said, "Here, you can do the same thing." And he took it in the first shot. Why, he shot under it. And the next time he shot, he shot, and he was shooting them right around that close.
Mm-hmm.
With it.
Is that right?
Shooting right at you. You know, it's just like this. It's just instinct for you to point.
We'll see you later.
You point your finger right at something, can't you?
Yeah.
Well, you point your gun right at you the same way. If you shoot it a time or two that way, it don't make no difference.
Mm-hmm.
It's just instinct for you to point, whether it's your pistol or your finger or what it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, I never thought of that.
Yeah, that's it. And you got a rifle. I got a 30 caliber carbine over there. And you can take that, and you can see where the bullets are hitting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You're shooting somebody out there, you may be hitting the ground out under 100 yards. But you can see where the bullet's hitting, because you can, they'll be tearing it up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you, first thing goes by, while you see where that bullet hits, we just move over a little.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same way with a rifle. And you shoot so much faster that way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just look where you're hitting. That's all you got to do, is just look where you're hitting. If you're shooting a man out there, you see the ground on out there where the bullets are hitting.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't see bullets hitting no ground, you know they're getting him.
Oh yes, you just got to have some firearms every now and then, you know, just to protect yourself.
Oh man, you got to have them. And I'll tell you something, they can pass all the laws they want to. I've got a few extra ones around here that I wouldn't have had if they hadn't start talking about passing these laws. But I intend to keep my gun. I know these criminals not going to get.
I have these two horses in here, and Mace to his wife runs that gallery up there.
Oh yeah, but he's a leading citizen over there. Then.
Ross Hammaker. I can't think of his name. I think a hamburger. Hamburger.
You've got a new machine?
Yeah, they just bought that the other day. They had a Ford, I think I had a Ford station wagon. Traded the name, got that.
You think Mr. Trash is still making money on his livestock down there?
No.
He hadn't spent any.
He made more money on his goats than he made on those things. He used to make a lot of money on those goats.
Yeah, over there.
How many do they have a year? Four?
I don't know.
They'd have two kids at one shot.
Yeah.
Don't they breed twice a year? Seems to me they're good.
Yeah.
That's four goats a year.
Doesn't take them long to get to it.
Selling those things to kids those Greeks in Tarpon Springs or up here at St. Mark's or Tampa or Jacksonville. They'd come here and get them. He didn't have to do anything with them. I made a butcher mad about a month ago and had a lamb. He said it was a lamb.
I had got something I could trade with Mr. Thrasher. You know, he gets that fish, mullet. And I went over at 2 or 3 Friday afternoon Then he, one afternoon, the man didn't come. And then ever since then, they've been...
Years ago, when Dent was here, we used to have a good grocery store. You could buy mullet or bluefish or kingfish steaks. Or I like kingfish steaks, things like that. I like fresh mullet. Now, I don't want it if it's a little bit old. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't want that. I want fresh mullet. You ever get any from that Cedar Keys place in Gainesville?
Never been there. Just never have started. Never did get started.
Up there on 6th or 8th, I don't know what it is, 8th I guess. Got a little bit out of the way.
I sure like it.
You know, if I have mullet than I would any other kind of fish. Mullet than I would most anything. Red fish. I like red fish.
Yeah.
Bacon.
Good thing.
Put it in the oven and that's the grade cows in your pasture. I've never heard from them since.
What in the world is they doing in there? I know she's big. I haven't found anybody who could do that.
But Bob's had an awful lot of trouble trying to find somebody to do. He's doing most of all of his own work up
there. Yeah, just.
In fact, he's had trouble getting anybody out of Jacksonville to do it. But there is somebody now, some one individual. I'll try and find out who it is.
Hold on.
There's an individual up there that is good.
You know Clifton, who had that Clifton's Electronics there for a while? He's working for cows. He don't sell cows.
You know that Frank Frederick's up here. Living in this place up here, and Arnold lives up above him, and they're starting to develop that thing again up there. Up here by Wakota Road. And he wanted me to go up there and help him sell some of the lots. In fact, he just said if you hear some real outstanding, genteel person and so forth. But hell's gonna freeze over before I go up there. Not me. I'm going up there. Ain't go to hell as far as I'm concerned.
you worked with them a long time, Frederick.
Yeah, I worked with this architect and for a long time and helped him out, and I sold two lots up there for $3,600. And then the darn architect wanted to dictate to the people who bought the property that they couldn't build the type house they wanted, and they built a beautiful house. They built a far better house than you'll find on that piece of dirt. So I had to give them back the money. And then I was trying to sell other houses, and I did a lot of work on them, and I didn't get thank you for it. I charged them exactly what I had to charge. You know, I didn't charge as much as I should have. And he was such a gentleman that when I went to see him, I heard he was here. I went out to see him, and he was up on a ladder. And he never got down off the ladder to speak to me or talk to me about what work I'd done or anything about the development or anything else. And I thought, well, all right. You Irish harp, if you want to stand up there on that ladder and not be a gentleman, I don't have to deal with you, so I've never been back since. I haven't, I had a heck of a...
You had your share of customers.
I had enough of that fun. I had a heck with him.
You do run across a few decent people.
Yeah, you do. You do. There's some nice people in McIntosh. There's some nice people down in McIntosh.
Yeah.
And... like I was just staying down there, I'd rather shop in Ocala than I would in Gainesville.
Mm-hmm. Still?
For the simple reason that the merchants down there, the salespeople down there are so decent and nice. Most of them, 95% of them. In Gainesville, they seem to think they're doing you a favor to wait on you.
Yeah, yeah. Even at the big store, like Sears and all.
Well, I stopped to, forget what it was Liz wanted and I was hunting for. Something for the children and grandchildren. And I went out to that, I had never been out to that Monkey Ward place on North Jacksonville there.
Oh.
And that's a real nice store. And there, the salespeople in there, that manager there, boy, if he finds they're rude to you, he'll fire them big like that.
Mm.
They gotta be decent. You don't like sarcasm, you don't like rude people.
Mm-hmm. Blunt.
Yeah.
So many of them are short with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, but in Gainesville, heck, they do you a favor to wait on you. I found one little girl in Wilson's, though, that's real accommodating and real nice. We decent little sales girl. I went in there one night with Ruth. Ruth went upstairs and I wouldn't walk upstairs. So I went over to look at some sweaters and she came over to help me, this little sales girl. So I broke down and bought a darn sweater from her. I bought her a nice sweater. Your wife's not sitting over there.
Huh? Time to go home.
Long, according to her, just like it should. But she's in a thing now that she is learning from. She asked me last night, she says, "How in the world?" She says, "That is the most screwed up place I've ever been in all my life, that veterans hospital." I said, "Well, you know why?" I said, "It's run just according to the way the Army does." She said, "How in the world we ever won a war? I don't know." She said, "That's the most disorganized bunch of people ever I've seen in my life." And I said, "Well, that's the way all Army installations work. Used to, whenever I was in service, I'd get a requisition to get a few automobile parts. I bet it cost the government $5 for me to ever get there and get that part."
Yeah.
"Well, it took me a half a day to get a generator." And she said they got, I don't know how many, you know, she's been in the recovery room over there for 7-8 years, you know. But everybody kept telling her, "Oh, you'll get better benefits over at that veterans hospital." Well, you do. And, but she says, "No wonder it takes so many people so long to get in and out of there. You know, Buck Weaver had a little old hernia operation. Do you remember that whenever he was at the old place over there?"
Mm-hmm.
"Took him 6 months to get up there and back. Roy Duncan had one not very long ago. You know how it took him? 1 week. 1 week. Buck would have done that, but Buck wanted to save some money. And he said while he was gone, said his wife and that old boy lost $900 in crediting old people around town there that wouldn't pay their bills. So he might as well went on to Gainesville and had it done, see?"
"Everything."
"Yeah. But you know what they do? They put him in there and they claim they had to build him up for the operation."
"Hmm.
At the Las Vegas General Hospital in Gainesville, they don't have to build you up. They don't have to build you up at all. They just check you and say, well, go on." Roy Duffin went in there one day and he fixed him up. Next day they had the operation. 3 days later he was back home. Hmm. And old Buck Weaver went to the Veterans Hospital in Lake City and was there 6 months.
Oh,
yeah. But she says they don't number things according to the way it should read on them things. Anything to be complicated, see? And said then they minor something and they got to go 40 miles. A little more duck like I'm playing around.
They coos.
Coos, yes. Then they got to run everywhere trying to find that little place piece to put back on that tray. So it'd be complete, see? Instead of just having somebody go down there and get all that stuff at one time, send one press at a time down to get one little old thing, just one thing. I said, that's the Army for you.
Too much labor.
All right. You ever put any points in that thing?
I thought you did. I thought you put new points in new, a new base in there.
When was that? That's been some time ago though, hadn't it?
No, when you put rings in.
No.
Well, you said you was going to.
I didn't put rings in the ground.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. Yes, I did too. Yes, I did. Somebody said that I didn't. Who was it?
Don't you know, you told me that thing is falling apart, that those parts are just hanging on.
They were. I did put them on. I remember now. Well, somebody said I didn't put them on. Who was that? Pastor Jeff Ackerson. You know, there's two or three of these things around here.
Yeah, they never wear out.
Clark like. Robinson, that's who it was.
Who?
Clark Robinson. He didn't get rid of it now. So.
Well, you see,
there's one or two more around town now. Let's see, who all got one? Adkins out there's got one, too.
You see, what happens is you don't work them anymore.
No.
You just,
Let me get down.
Drive a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I said a while ago, we didn't take it no speed toll last time today.
And the battery cable was loose.
Yeah.
It looks like
after I timed that thing up, she, run easy then, you know.
Looks like a man could keep his battery cables tight, doesn't it?
Yeah. Them battery's good battery. I better get my tools over here. I might need them.
Yeah.
I got a lot of work to do this.
I thought maybe you just tied up over there.
I have been.
People broke down and all.
I still am, man. Let's see. I got a Dodge out there for Mr. Smith up there. He's in the hospital.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get it through this. Then I got that old big trucker man drug in there yesterday. I ain't never even touched it. I told him, I said, I got to get these other things out of here first. What's that thing by Monday morning? Been sitting up for 8 months.
Yeah.
Now he's got to have it by Monday morning. Ain't that something?
Yeah.
Got to put a clutch in it and he's got to skip in the motor and everything. Yeah.
Looks to me like everybody gets in a jam like that. I'm worse than anybody else.
Yeah.
I let him set up like that.
Well, now he's had that thing sitting up all this summer. I could have fixed it this summer.
Yeah.
And didn't say a thing about it. Now he needs it all of a sudden, you know. You got to have it. No, everybody does that. You ain't right, sir. I did it myself.
Yeah. Yeah, I always feel shabby when I'm done.
Yeah.
I hate to press anybody, you know.
I have so much to do here lately that I forget half of it. I forgot the other morning to come over here until it's too late. Matter of fact, I was in Gainesville doing a job, and I thought about it while I was up there. I said, doggone myself. And I was supposed to go out and get Mr. Rogers' station wagon last Saturday. Ain't never went down yet. Last Friday it was. Well, he don't say something about it. His old tail lights is all out. But I'm gonna tell you right now, I would rather put a clutch in that big truck up there and that hard work than to take that station wagon and try to fix those lights and everything in that back end. That's one of the damnest jobs ever you've seen trying to fix that light. Ain't got no tail lights and no brake lights and no nothing. But this light don't burn, the dash lights don't burn.
Yeah.
And they say that's just an easy job.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I'm putting in that clutch, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Well, if you're stretching wires out, you don't know what you're doing. That's just an accident whenever you find it. Just a damn accident.
Yeah.
You work there all day trying to find that trouble. When you get through, he'll say, well, how long it take you? 15 minutes to fix it?
Yeah.
See?
Yeah. I've had that happen.
Man, that's trouble, these damn wires.
I took it up White Electric. And they just lucky and found it in a couple hours.
That's right. Just luck.
Just lucky.
I put fuses in there the other day. I had it up there for a while. Put fuses in it, and I looked at it, and the bulb was all good in the back. And
yeah.
I waited trouble. Wires all under the back, anything all up under the dash here.
Buster, when you get pushed like this, you could use a little help. Now, them boys around there, they help you some?
Yeah. But see, they're in school now. During the summer, they help me. And sometimes during the winter, I get one to help me. Old Jack's been helping, but he's gone now.
Where's Jack?
He down there on Reddick. Old guy wanted to go down there and chauffeur for him.
Oh.
Old Smitty, you know, ain't got no driver's license. He's getting sick. Matter of fact, he's in the hospital, just got out the other day. And old Jack goes down there and cooks for him and drives his car and helps him out. That's right up Jack's alley. Gives him all the liquor he wants to drink. So Jack enjoys that.
Yeah.
He's living a life of riding. He ain't worried about nothing.
Well, what happened to Smitty?
Old Smitty retired, you know. He's getting kind of old and kind of feeble.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, old Smitty, since he couldn't miss the fire power, you know. He's got to be an old
Oh,
man.
You mean Red. Red Smith. Oh, Red.
I'm talking about the one.
Worked for the power.
Clarence Smith.
And retired.
Yeah.
Yes.
Clarence.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I see.
Yeah, he was redheaded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear him calling red. So, oh, that's where he is, down that Reddick,
yeah.
Chauffeuring.
That's right. Bring up his liquor to chauffeuring and plug it in the plan. But Smitty can't do it.
Well, I was thinking about Smitty down there at the car place. You know, the junk place.
Oh, not that Smith.
No,
that's
Carl
Smith.
Yeah,
that's Carl. Ask a deal about your dog.
Huh?
Ask a deal about your dog.
Yeah.
Well.
That's how I appreciate it.
Yes, sir, you're sure welcome. And we'll see you.
All right.
Shake it easy, mind who you shake it at.
<That's>
I ain't
nice.
Gonna try none of this. Everything's
right.
Okay.
Just put it on the bill.
No,
I'll
all right.
catch up with you.
Take it easy now. Even think holler, guy.
All right.
I told you last time that Hollis was about walking distance.
Oh, is that?
Yeah. I said, well, I'm about to rest. Even think holler, too. I mean, $5. Cut off this holler. He wouldn't spend
too
much money. You know it?
They don't.
He don't show you how a woman can operate. We need a damn washing machine, a few other things. At Christmas, she didn't buy that. She got off and buy the damn projector and the camera and all that bullshit, you know? So that day I said, damn washing machine done tore up now. I thought it was going to. I said, how about throwing all them clothes in that damn projection? Kind of washed them up a little bit.
Couldn't
do it.
Oh, she wanted to see the pictures. Sure.
Yeah, well, that's good, you know it.
Yeah.
A projector, I think, is pretty good too, you know it?
Yeah.
We went down on the Gulf the other Sunday and did some pictures of old pelicans down there and all them old big boats. You ever been down to Yankeetown?
Never have.
Man, you ought to go down there.
Never.
They got some of the finest boats down there in the world. Yachts and everything. God almighty, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And they got a village down there off from Yankeetown called, it's off from Homosassa down there.
Yeah.
Man, you ain't never seen the nicest place in the world. All them damn great big rivers coming in there, you know, they look like they're man-built rivers. They're coming off the Wissacoochee River. I guess it's Wissacoochee, isn't it?
I don't know, but...
Yeah, that's what it is. Man, there's some boats coming there.
Yeah.
Shit, they got damn wheels, that big steering wheels, you know, just like those ocean vessels, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of them got 11 tags on them cars, so there must be a lot of them out of game. And the big shots out there owns them. And they've got docks down there to keep those things in, those wet docks, you know. Got stalls there. Put them in. They can't haul them up and down the road. They're too big.
Yeah. Oh, no.
They leave them in there.
If they move them, they got to take them around the water.
Yeah. They leave them in the water down there. They got stalls they rent. So much a month. Just like you would a trailer place. Space.
Well, now, do you go down and ride any then?
No, we just went down.
Just look at them.
Just look at them. And wish.
Yeah.
Like a little old kid ain't got no money, goes to a baker's shop and looks in the window, don't ask, just looks in, puts his nose up against the glass and just looks and wishes.
Yeah.
That's all I'm doing, just looking in the wishes.
Yeah, well, you got some good pictures.
Yeah.
You take them?
She did. You know, we got some pictures a boy took and gave them, her wife's brother-in-law, took them there with that little old boy of mine, wasn't them, but the little old kid wasn't that high.
Yeah.
Little old shaver. The other night, we're at the house of Rennie showing them pictures. Back then, I was slender. I didn't have no belly on me at all. I was slender back then. That's been way back then, about 10 years ago. And my wife says, hey, Bill, so there's you. He said, that ain't me. And we said, yes, it is, too. I never was that little old thing. Can you imagine that? He never thought he was that little.
Yeah.
He thinks he's grown now.
Yeah.
About 14 years old.
Yeah.
He said, that ain't me, so I know I was that little. Good day, guys.
Right over.